Father, we just thank you for your presence. We thank you, Lord, for the Lord Jesus Christ. And we just pray, oh God, that as we just come around your word right now, Lord, Lord, you just minister life and quicken. And we pray, oh God, by the power of your Holy Spirit, you would just move amongst us. You would touch and change lives. You would quicken. And Father, you would show yourself to be the creator again of all things, Lord, bringing new life in Jesus' name. Father, we pray for the word. We pray for Daniel as he brings it, oh God. Lord, you give him clarity. Lord, let your precious anointing rest upon him mightily in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's welcome Daniel.
Praise God. How's everyone doing? It's good to be here. Amen. It's good to be in the presence of God. My days. It's just like, it's just amazing, really. You can just go on and on and on and on, can't you? And that's what happens when you're in the presence of God. When you start sensing the presence of God, my days. You've not got track of your time. You might as well throw your watch because we'll be here all night. Amen. So if you've got your Bible with you, you can turn to Matthew 19, chapter 19, and we'll be looking at from 16. The title of my message today is, It is Possible. Let me say that again. The title of my message is, It is Possible. And this is what he says in Matthew 19, verse 16. Now, a man came up to Jesus and asked, Teacher, what good thing must I do to get eternal life? Why do you ask me about what is good? Jesus replied, There is only one who is good. If you want to enter life, obey the commandments. Which one? The man inquired. Jesus replied, Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not give false testimony. Honor your father and mother. And love your neighbor as yourself. All this I have kept, the young man said. What do I still lack? Jesus answered, If you want to be perfect, go sell your possessions and give it to the poor. And you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me. When the young man heard this, he went away sad because he had a great wealth. Then Jesus said to his disciples, I tell you the truth, it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, I tell you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. When the disciples heard this, they were greatly astonished and asked, Who then can be saved? Let me say that again. They asked, Who then can be saved? Jesus looked at them and said, With man, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. And you know, can I just say before I start, we are not running this race in vain. We are not coming to church every Sunday in vain. We are not chasing the wind. But we are running after the things of God. We are running towards God Himself. We don't have to come here every Sunday. But the reason we come to church every Sunday is because we want to know God. And we want to understand more of God. And we want to be in communion, in fellowship with God. Paul says in Philippians, let us run towards the goal. And the thing that jumps out to me when I'm reading that piece of scripture is when the disciples are asking to Jesus, then who then can be saved? Who then can be saved? Is it a religious man? Is it a good man? Is it a sinner? Who can be saved? Do you know, sometimes even in our own lives, we pray for someone, don't we? We pray for people and we pray for a certain situation. And sometimes the certain situation doesn't quite match up with what expected to be. And majority of time, we just give hope and we just run away. And the Word of God says, do not lose hope. In everything that you do, do not lose hope. And the thing that challenges me every time is, if I cannot love someone when they're in their worst, then I don't know nothing about the love of God. If we cannot love a person when they are at their worst, then we've quite not grasped the whole understanding and the love of God. If me passing through the town sees someone who's in a mess, and I completely ignore that person and walk past, then my goodness, God help me, I've not got the love of God in me. I haven't got the love of God in me. We talk about love of God, and we struggle to show the love of God. And the Word of God says, love your neighbor as yourself. Who is your neighbor? Is it a person who sits next to you? Or is it a person who's got a house next door to yours? It is. But when it talks about loving your neighbor, it's all of us. All of us. And the love of God includes everyone. And years ago, when I was caught up in my drug addiction, and when I was in my teenage years, I smoked weed, and I used to go out clubbing with my mates. I used to smoke cigarette. I used to drink heavy. And back then, I would have really appreciated if someone would have stopped and told me about Jesus, that Jesus can change my life. It took me 5 years to finally understand and grasp the love of God. And that could have been prevented if someone would have gossiped the gospel to me. If someone would have reached out to me and took their time to share the love of God with me. And I suppose the challenge for each one of us today, including myself, is, are we giving our time to reach out to people? And are we giving our time to gossip the gospel? Because ultimately what we expect is we expect Jesus to carry our cross. Jesus says in the Bible, pick up your cross daily and follow me. And sometimes in our lives, we expect Jesus to pick our cross and we follow after him. No, that doesn't work that way. We have to pick up our cross and follow Jesus wholeheartedly. And lately, I've been reminded quite often about what I have been saved from. Because most of the time, in our Christian journey, it just becomes something like ticking the boxes. I go to church, tick. I pray every day, tick. I read my Bible every day, tick. I lift my hands when I'm praising God, tick. It all becomes about ticking the boxes. But what are we really looking for when we lifting up our hands to Jesus? What are we really meaning when we're singing, Jesus, we give our lives to you. Jesus, we give our everything to you. Do we really mean it? Do we really mean what we're singing about? Do we really mean what we're singing about? Because I've been challenged myself. I can use the Christian language all day long. Hallelujah, praise the Lord, Jesus is good. I can use it all day long. But if I'm not convicted of my sin, and if I'm not convicted of my wrongdoing, then my goodness, God help me. Because ultimately, what it comes under is us knowing Jesus, and Jesus having that fellowship with us. We can tick the boxes all day long. We can tick the boxes as much as we want. But unless we've grasped the understanding and the love of God, nothing's changed. We're still the same old person, but with a different mask. And this time, it's the Christian mask. And who are we? God wants to pierce our heart and have that relationship with us. God wants to meet us. God really, really wants to meet us today. That's what we're here because we know, I know that all of us are here because we want that touch from God. Because we want, we know there's more. There is more. We sang earlier about chasing the worldly things in vanity. We were. My days, I was chasing wrong things in my life. I was chasing something that wasn't giving me any purpose. I was chasing something that was meaningless. I would go out with my mates and I would smoke a lot of weed. And I thought that was life. I used to go out with my mates clubbing a lot, and I thought that was life. Unless a man completely understands where he's at, he cannot change himself. We need to get to that place. One person needs to get to that place where he completely understands and knows that he's nothing without God. I stand here today not because of what I did to myself. It's because of what God did to me 5 years ago. And how did that happen? Because someone took their time to come out and reach out to me and share the gospel with me. And what is this gospel? What is this good news? What is this good news, you might say? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And most of us lives, I'm sure we were in that position where we were looking for a life. And we were looking in wrong places. We look for life in music. We look for life in clubs. We look for life in drugs. We look for life in money. We look for life in different relationships. But can I just say, we are looking in the wrong direction. That isn't where God wants us to be. God wants us to live our life to its full. And what does that look like? A life with no guilt. A life with no shame. A life with purpose and meaning. A life where you are completely free. When I say free, not just free from addiction, but free from sin. Free from sin. Can I just say, before we met Jesus, all of us straight up, we were sinners. We were sinners. We were living in sin. And when we accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, it's not that mask that was lifted off us, but it was that eternity. We now have been accepted into this family of God, where all of us have been given the right to become children of God. Come on. So I want to remind us of a story found in Luke 19. And I'm sure most of us are familiar with this story. This is about a little man called Zacchaeus. And this is how it starts. Luke chapter 19, verse 1 to 10. And it says, Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, he could not because of the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, He has gone to be the guest of a sinner. But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. Jesus said to him, Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and save what was lost. For the Son of Man came to seek what was lost. I love that hymn, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound. That saved a wretch like me. You don't have to be a drug dealer to be considered a sinner. You don't have to be alcoholic to be considered a sinner. You don't have to be a thief to be considered a sinner. Every man is born with a sin in him. Every man. And what makes a good man a good man? Is it because he does good things? Is it because he follows good things? Is it because he's got good morals? Is it because he's got good values? No. What makes a good man is his faith in Jesus Christ. Nothing is good except Jesus. Nothing of this world can give you that identity and that fullness which Jesus does. And my first point for this story is Zacchaeus was more than a spectator. He wanted to know Jesus. And you know, there is a difference between seeing and hearing about Jesus and knowing Jesus. We can hear about Jesus and we can see about Jesus, but it's nothing like knowing Jesus himself. Do you know, when I look at this story, I think of how this Zacchaeus must have heard about Lord Jesus Christ. And how he must have heard about. Because if we look at the chapters before Luke 16, we see Jesus healing lepers. We see Jesus opening blind eyes. We see Jesus healing cripples. So in a sense, I'm led to believe that Zacchaeus must have heard about Jesus. He must have heard about Jesus. Someone must have told him about Jesus. Because in a sense, Jesus, although he didn't want it to be famous, he was famous in that region. Everyone knew about Jesus. It's like, well, when you sort of like got this new music coming out, like Justin Bieber or whatever, everyone's aware of it. Everyone knows, oh, look at that, we've got Justin Bieber right now. And when you've got this new fashion coming out, everyone knows about the fashion. Oh, look at him, skinny jeans, curly hairs, Mackenzie hair. And everyone's aware of it. Everyone's aware of it. And everyone longs to be part of that fashion. And everyone longs to be part of that generation. And can I just suggest, Zacchaeus, he knew he was living in the wrong. And he had heard about Jesus performing miracles. And there was something in his heart where he wanted to be part of that God fellowship, where he wanted to be accepted in a group and in amongst group. Because tax collectors were one of the loneliest people in the social world of Jesus. Nobody wanted to associate with tax collectors. If I was a tax collector, everyone would ignore me. Everyone would ignore me. And the Romans were so clever that they would hire an Israelite and Jew to be a tax collector. They wouldn't hire a Roman person to be a tax collector. They would hire someone, one of the Israelites, to be a tax collector. So that, in a sense, in the eye of Israelite people, Romans might still have a good sense. So what? In a sense, when we look at Zacchaeus, he's a lonely man. He is a lonely man. And even in our own lives, we might be comfortable with where we are. But that's not where God wants us to be. God wants us to move forward. God wants us to bring that growth within each one of us. If we're sitting here today and if we're thinking to ourselves, I'm saved, thank you Jesus, that is all. No, God wants to use each one of us. God wants us to be active in prayer. God wants us to be active in service. God wants us to be active in gossiping the gospel, as Andrew said earlier. It's all about being active in God. Zacchaeus knew that he needed to know Jesus. There was lots of people in that crowd, but we only read about Zacchaeus. It says there was a big crowd when Jesus was there. There was a big crowd when Jesus was there. And in a sense, we pray for a miracle. And we pray for God to move. We pray for God to do a supernatural. But in a sense, God is waiting for us to move. And as we move, God will move with us. God wants us to move with him. We pray for a certain miracle. And we're like, God, why isn't this happening? Because God wants us to move. He's like, come on, move. Move so I can move. Pray for people who needs healing and see how God will heal that person. Pray for someone who needs deliverance and see how God will deliver that person. Pray for someone who needs to get saved and see how that person will get saved. I'm sure Dia prayed for her friends and they're here tonight. I'm sure most of us prayed for certain people, and because of that prayer, the person you prayed for is here today. I knew that you guys had been praying for me, and that's why I'm standing here today. Behind every man's conversion, there was someone praying for them. There was someone praying for them. And Zacchaeus wanted to know God. He just didn't want to see God and hear God, but he wanted to know God. My point number two is Zacchaeus made an effort to know Jesus. We read it in verse 4 where he says, he ran ahead and climbed a tree. And can I just say, when someone is so desperate for a change, they will do anything. They will not care about people. Zacchaeus didn't care about people. There was a whole big crowd there. And most of the time, right, if I was there personally myself, I would worry about what people would think of me. I would worry about what people would think of me. But Zacchaeus didn't care. Now I'm getting to that place where I don't care about what people think of me. But in a sense, Zacchaeus didn't care what people thought of him. All he wanted to do was he wanted to touch Jesus. He wanted to know Jesus. And he didn't care, so much so that he climbed a sycamore tree, making himself look like a complete nut job. In a sense, if we look that in a modern context, let's say like there's someone walking here, someone who's really famous, and it's like me climbing on top of a house trying to get a good view. I wouldn't do that. Because there's health and safety attached to it. What if I sleep over? I might break my neck. What if something happens to me? I might break my arm or something. But Zacchaeus didn't care. All he wanted to know was he wanted to be with Jesus. And he wanted to know Jesus. And most of the time, we are so focused in our weaknesses and in the things that we cannot do, we forget about our strengths. We forget about our strengths. Can I just say, one of the most servant women I've ever met is Joan. Because Joan, every time I come here, she just asks me for water if I need a water. And she makes sure that people in here are looked after. And for me, that is an encouragement. That is an absolute encouragement for me. Because you don't see her in stage or anything. You don't see her preaching or anything. But she's preaching to other people. Through her service. And most of the time, we've got this idea of everything happens from there. No, everything happens from here. Everything happens from us. Where we get involved with certain stuff and where we physically give our all to God. It's all about service. Jesus said, if you want to be greatest, be one of the servants. If you want to be one of the greatest, be one of the man who, or a woman who would bring their best and who would serve God wholeheartedly. Wholeheartedly. Most of the men, mighty men of God I've read in the Bible, they've always served. They've always served. Joseph, he was thrown in the prison. He served. He brought his best. He got accused of a rape, but still he served his best. He was taken to a Potiphar's house. He served his best. Whatever context he was standing in, wherever he was, he brought his best. And because he brought his best in serving, God honored him. And God elevated him. And gave him the position where he was able to rule Egypt. My third point is Zacchaeus responded to the call of God. When Jesus looked at Zacchaeus and said, Zacchaeus, today I want to come to your house. Zacchaeus responded straight away. And I believe there's people in here today where God's called us to do something. It doesn't matter whatever age we might be, but all of us, we are called by God to preach the gospel. All of us, God wants to use us regardless of whatever our age. Sarah and Abraham, God called them when they were old to lead and make a great nation. Moses, old, called to lead Everyone in the Bible, some of them they're young, some of them they're old, doesn't matter, but each one of us, we're called by God, and God wants to use us mightily. And the only thing that is lacking is our response. We don't quite respond to the call of God. Dear, straight off, God's called you. I see a calling in your life. I see a calling in your life, and you need to respond to that calling. And as you respond to that calling, my goodness, God's going to move. God's going to move mightily. God's going to use you mightily. And each one of us says, well, God will use us mightily. And most of the time, we just sit back, hold back. God just wants to use us. Pray for people. You will see mighty miracles, including myself, all of us in here today. God wants to use us. And there was two kind of people when we look at Zacchaeus' story. There was one who were sort of moaning, saying, oh, look at this guy. How can he stand with the sinners? And there was other folks who were very encouraged with what they just saw. In a sense, can I just say, religious people would not associate with the sinners in the social, in the old background of Jesus. We don't see any account of Pharisees' association with the sinners, with the marginalized. It was until Jesus came in and he showed what kingdom of God looks like. He showed what kingdom of God looks like. And each one of us, God wants to use us to show to other people what kingdom of God looks like. If you walk through town and let's say we're sitting with a homeless people, people will look at it and think, why is he sitting with a homeless guy? Martin and me, we were walking to town Friday night, and we seen this lovely lady, and she was like homeless. And obviously, she must have been like taking drugs or something, but she was saying to us she hadn't been. But we could just see that she was. You can't just lie to us. We know. We know. Yeah. She was like, oh no, I'm fine. But like, as we sat down with her, there was lots of people walking past us. And they were going for a drink. They were going for a good night out. But we could just see like people were looking at us. And they were just walking, looking at us. And in a sense, I don't know what they're thinking. Some of them might be thinking, oh, here we go, a group of homeless people. As well, Martin, I mean, we were looking rough. So. Three homeless people. I don't know what they were thinking. But I'm sure some of them were quite struck with what they saw. Why are they sitting with that dirty homeless person? Why are they talking to her? Can I just say, that's what Jesus would do. If Jesus was here today, he would sit with the homeless. If Jesus was here today, he would talk to the prostitute. If Jesus was here today, he would help the alcoholics. If Jesus was here today, he would talk to the marginalized, unloved of the society and community. That's what it's all about. Loving the unlovable. Everyone can love someone who loves you back. But it is hard to love someone who doesn't love you. It's hard to love someone who doesn't even want to talk to you. My goodness, that is a challenge for each one of us. And can I just say, what sort of group we fall into? Are we those who would take time to sit down and give time to the hopeless people and the marginalized people? Or do we fall into someone who would just walk past them? That is a challenge for myself as well. Because sometimes I'm so in a hurry, I just walk past people. And as much as I want to sit down and talk to them, because of time, I can't. And that's why we need more people who's got the heart of God, who would sit down just for a minute. Can I just say, we've got like 30 odd people in here today. If one of us make time for that one homeless people, that will make a difference in their lives. If one of us make time for that people, just sit down and offer them a food and just talk to them, that will make a difference. I'm sure not every one of us will be busy at the same time. I'm sure some of us can spare some free time to sit down and just like talk to homeless people and just offer them some food. Offer them some food. When we move with faith in God, he does the impossible. He does the impossible. But let us do the things that are possible. Gossiping the gospel, that is possible. We can do it. It's physically possible. and changing their hearts, God does that. Feeding the homeless people, talking to homeless people is possible. Changing their lives, God does that. Praying for the sick, it is possible. We lay hands on the sick, we pray for him. But let's do that bit and God will do the impossible. Praying for the unsaved, let's pray for the unsaved and God does the impossible. He saves them. And can I just say, whatever we do, it is possible. If we move in the possibility of praying for people, God will do something that is impossible for us. When we pray for people, it is possible. When we lay hands on the sick, it is possible. When we preach the gospel, it is possible. It is possible, but only if we make it an effort to go out and do it. It's possible. I just want to pray for us. Is that right? That's the end of our message. So if there's one thing I would want us to leave from this place today, is know that when we begin to move, trusting in God, God does the impossible. Sometimes, like, we might say, we think to ourselves, oh God, it's not possible. Because, like, it's so messed up. I'm sure most of the people said that about me as well. Look at Dan, he's so messed up. It's not possible for him now. They did. Andrew probably knows it. Because Andrew knew what I was like before. And it is possible. Here I am standing today. People must have said the same thing about Stephen. It's not possible for that man. Look at him. He's such a messed up man. It's not possible for him. Look at him today. Sharing about what God's doing through his life. I mean, preaching in Nottingham. Reaching out to people in Nottingham. Powerful. Martin as well. People in Scotland must have looked at him thinking, no chance for Martin. No way for him. It's not possible for him. Look at him today. I'm sure a lot of people have said that thing about us. Look at him. It's not possible for him. Look at Stephen. It's not possible for him. All of us. Look at Ellie. It's not possible for her. But people must have said that. But with God, all things are possible. Amen. With God, all things are possible. With man, this is impossible, Jesus said. But with God, all things are possible. Let's just pray. Let's just pray. Spirit of living God. I just want to open up this also in the front. If anybody needs a prayer for boldness and courage. Because if you look in the book of Acts, the disciples and the people of God, they were filled with the Spirit and they were empowered by the Spirit. But the only thing they pray for is they pray for boldness and courage. They don't pray for any more power because they have got the power now. And in the same way, I want to make an altar call. If there's anybody in here who would struggle in that sense of thinking to themselves, God, I want to do it, God, and I want to gossip the gospel, God, and I want to talk to people and I want to tell people about you, Lord, but I'm not bold enough, Lord. And God, I need courage and I need boldness. If that's you today, I just want to invite you to front and we would love to pray for you. We would love to pray for you. We want to pray for you that God will fill you with such boldness and courage that you will leave this place changed and with passion and with a desire to preach the gospel and to reach out to people. So if that's you, I just want to open up this altar to you. And we would love to pray for you. Bless you. I'm just going to give two more invitations. I'm just going to say two more times and we're going to pray after that. If that's you today where you're praying to God saying, God, I want to be bold. I want to be courageous. Just come to front. Because I believe God wants to fill us with boldness and courage today to do His work. I want to invite you one more time. If that's you today, and if you are praying to God, saying, God, I want to be bold and courageous. Come to front, we will pray for you. Spirit of living God. Spirit of living God. Santa Rabashi Kiara Rabason Torobo Ramara Karabashin Tere Robo Sotora Bashikiana Mason Torobo Shin Dere. Spirit of living God, Spirit of living God, Spirit of living God, Spirit of living God. Rabashiki Arabason Torobo Shin Dere. Stephen. Santa Rabashiki Arabashun Torobo. Santa Spirit of Living God. Hoso Torobo Shara.